What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Entrepreneurs know some of the most challenging times when starting a business are at the beginning. At Genesis, they've harnessed all that beginning excitement into the award-winning GV70. And with the first ever electrified GV70, you get all that stunning design and innovative tech in an electric vehicle. The electrified GV70 features the silhouette of a coupe and the capability of an SUV. The exclusive G-Matrix grille stylishly hides the charging port. Inside, discover a driver-oriented cockpit featuring fingerprint recognition, available Napa leather, and premium navigation with a 14.5-inch HD screen. Engage boost mode for an exhilarating 483 horsepower. And when it's time to charge, DC fast charging will give you up to 80% charge in minutes. Your Genesis electrified GV70 is waiting for you. What will you begin? Learn more at genesis.com. Genesis, keep beginning. Entrepreneurs know some of the most challenging times when starting a business are at the beginning. At Genesis, they've harnessed all that beginning excitement into the first ever electrified GV70, featuring the silhouette of a coupe and the capability of an SUV. Learn more at genesis.com. Genesis, keep beginning. Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel Zoe, and you're listening to Climbing in Heels. This show is all about celebrating the most extraordinary superwomen who will be sharing their incredible journeys to the top, all while staying glamorous. Today with me, I am so excited to have one of my favorite stylists, celebrity stylists, and co-founder of The Period Company and so many different parts of her business that she's launched since becoming a stylist, Carla Welsh. Carla opens up about how she started her styling career by working in a restaurant, working retail since she was 11 years old with her dad, and how she met the love of her life and husband there as well. Carla is sharing with us how hard work, very hard work, and saying yes lead to a majority of her successes, and how sacrifice is sometimes really hard and painful to look back on. I'm so excited for you all to listen to this episode. It's really good. It's progressive. It's honest. It's candid. It's open. It's really important and something we all need to be speaking more about. So let's get right into it with Carla. And I hope you love this episode as much as I do. I think anyone who knows what a stylist is, and you know, and I know mm-hmm. that so many people actually don't, but, but I think anyone who does absolutely knows who you are and is a giant fan. And I also think people obviously outside the industry really know you as well. And I think you've become this very prominent voice for so many different things, for so many people. But I also, the reason I started Climbing in Heels was because I think that from where people sit and how they view people in the public eye is, she got lucky. How did she get there?
Oh, I know.
Right? Or like, oh my God, who's this girl? Carla Welsh. Like, she just appeared out of nowhere. God, how did she, like, whatever. So I started this because I think for all the epic women that I know that are at the top of their fields, everyone's journey is so completely different, so incredibly challenging. None of them have happened overnight. And so,
right?
Not
20 years overnight.
Yeah, exactly. If 20 years is overnight, yes, it happened overnight. And so I think I first want to just touch a little bit, where'd you like come from, your family, like just a little bit about like, who were you? Were you like an awkward, shy kid, or were you like a cool kid? Yeah. Were you like awkward, shy, right?
So I come from a really small town in Canada, powerful British Columbia, like tiny. If you took Highway 101 to its very end, that's where I'm from. And I was the youngest of four kids, and we were pretty insular. Like, we just played with each other, probably because my mom was like, I'm too tired. You don't need to go on a fucking play date. But also I was like that kid who we went out on our bikes and we came home when it was dinner time. You know, I feel so lucky to be a, you know, a 70s, 80s kid that got to kind of experience the world. You know, safely. In ways our children, safely, right? No, I think the world's still safe-ish. It's just so different now, right? We really had so much freedom growing up.
Yeah.
So I think I was not that outgoing, and I'm still not that outgoing. Like, I'm like a bit of an imposter when I'm like, I'm an introverted extrovert.
I'm too.
Yeah. Well, for sure. Right.
Where you're like, you're Virgo.
Yes. We're both Virgos. Yeah,
it's a thing. It's a thing.
It's our thing. And you know, I have to like, really prepare to go into a room because I'm like, oh, I'm not that interesting. I don't have anything to say. And but then I like to be easy with people, but I'll also like get right to it. I'll just be like, oh my God, are you happy with your life? Like, I just can't do anything casual, I think. I want to know.
Same.
So I think I was like a daydreamer too as a kid. Like, I loved playing with my Barbies and I loved just imagining. And I was always pretty comfortable with my own company, you know?
Yeah.
And I still think that's to this day, I still am.
I have so many amazing, like, it's funny. People are like, yeah, but if you were doing a party, you'd have 200 people. And I'm like, yes.
For sure.
But like, who do I want around me on any given time? Like one or two? Or like, if I'm going out and things, I have to mentally prepare myself for it, honestly.
For sure.
Not weird.
Because it's still like work. We're in such an on business, right? And I will say, you have a sister and I have a sister, and like, my sister is my best friend and who I want to spend. They're like, oh, are you going on summer vacation? Are you going to Europe? I'm like, no, I'm going to Canada and I'm making my whole family be there. Yeah. And that's what we're going to do.
Isn't that like, so, it's so interesting. And I say the same, that because I've had my sister, I don't think I ever leaned on friends the same way that a lot of my friends do. I mean, I'm definitely thankful for that. And I'm sure you are too, because there's a comfort and a safety and a, you don't have to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Aww. Built in playmates.
So, okay. So what happened? So you go through like, when do you leave Canada?
So I grew up in the fashion business, not the fashion, the retail business. My father had a store.
Okay.
I worked with him from like a very young age. I would go there after elementary school, probably because he was the babysitter, and he would put me to work, like dusting the shelves and folding the shirts and like, then like maybe when I was 11, I started doing his window displays because I like loved it. And so I would do all the little tableaus.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I started going, he'd take me on the buying trips with him and I would get to buy the clothes. And then I started working for him. And so that was my constant through, because we had to have jobs in our household, but I was my dad's like A+ employee until like all through college and that. And then graduated and I kind of floundered, to be honest. Like but I wasn't really stressed out, which maybe I should have been, but why? Like, I went to college and I was like, oh, I kind of suck at this. Like, I wasn't ready for learning. And the funny thing is like, I love to learn and I'm so curious about the world. And I'm always like, you know, I think sometimes higher education is wasted on young people. Cause if you're not ready to be there and learn it, I mean, kids nowadays are so focused and are so amazing, but I wasn't that. So I was okay, I'm going to go travel. Mm-hmm. Then I'm so influenced by cinema, of course, as you are too, but I watched Tequila Sunrise and Michelle Pfeiffer was the maitre d' of her restaurant and she was making angel hair pasta. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to go run a restaurant. I want to be Michelle Pfeiffer and have Mel Gibson come in and I'm going to make an angel hair.
And Kurt Russell.
Whatever the hell. And Kurt Russell. And then, so I was like, that's what I'm going to do. So I was like, systematic. And I went to chef school and I went to food and beverage school so that I could know both ends of things. Like, I think that's part of like really what makes a stylist too. Cause you know, we can go on a photo shoot and we're like, we can produce it. We know how the best shot, we can direct hair and makeup, and then we can tell the photographer what to do. Like, that's our brains, right?
That's wild. Okay. Okay. Well, it's also freaking me out. Cause you know, that was my first job. I was a hostess. Time out.
Oh, no way.
I was 19.
Well, okay. This is fucking wild. Because
in an Italian restaurant.
I worked like up in Vancouver and blah, 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 blah. And then I worked in this really famous Vancouver restaurant. We won James Beard Awards. It was great. I was really poised to become a partner in the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And a restaurateur, yeah. And one day this fucking guy walked in and he sat down on table 17. And that was it. That was Matthew Welch, my husband of 21 years, who came and sat in my restaurant. He wrote me a love letter. And he...
And
you remember working in restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
You're nice to people. That's our fucking job.
Oh, yeah.
We want your tips.
Oh, yeah.
You're nice.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, but I was always nice. But it's also, you know, it's a performance. Like there's a song and dance.
Yes.
And boys flirt with you because they think you're being nice because they're basic. But
yes.
And we had like a real run and like it was all my best girlfriends come from there. That's where I built my biggest community.
Dead.
And, you know, they're all young, good looking girls. We got to wear whatever we wanted. And we all dressed really nice. And a lot of boys came in and flirted. But this boy sat down and I was like, well, I guess we're making a change. And that was it. I came down to Los Angeles to meet him, actually in Palm Springs. I said, oh, I'm visiting my aunt. And he came and we literally were like, okay, let's get married.
Get out of here. And that was it.
I know. Isn't that crazy? That was it.
I'm dead. That's crazy. I met Roger. He was a waiter and I was a hostess.
Shut up.
And he literally said to me, whoever you see come in with a cell phone, seat them in my section because they'll be the biggest tippers.
Because they had money.
They had money.
And yeah, of like, course.
And literally, and here we
Look
are.
Look at you, teamwork from day one.
Why? That's so crazy. Wait, I never knew. See, I could like stop here. We could end here. I'm so happy now.
But didn't you love working in a restaurant? Like I have learned so much. That's why I always say to young people, nothing you do is waste it, right?
Yes, it's true.
From me working in the store, from me working in a coffee shop to working in a restaurant, that's where my skills have come from.
A billion percent. And they don't do that now. They graduate and want to be the like vice president of the company. And
they want to be the vice president of the company and they want to be paid like it.
It's like 1,000%.
With the vacation days that go with it and like the balance.
Do you know what? I know a few CEOs right now that when I recommend people, they go, do they ever work in a restaurant? And I say, what do you mean? They're like, I won't even meet somebody that hasn't worked in a restaurant and been a waiter. Or a waitress. It's a thing. So what you're saying is very valid because it's a discipline. It's a way to talk to people. It's a way to meet all kinds of people that you have to like, I don't want to use the word service.
And it's fun as fuck. Like it's so much fun. You got cash in your pocket.
I know. Watson.
And that's also why I'm like an outrageous tipper. Someone once said to me, you'll never go broke given a good tip. And I was like, well, there you go.
Oh my God, it's so true. Okay, so I'm fascinated already. So you come to LA and
I got married.
Crazy.
I got married.
You're a baby.
We had a bit of a...
How old were you?
So I met Matthew when I was 20. Just actually, my birthday's 9/11. It was my 27th birthday.
Okay.
And then we got married, I think, when I was 28.
Okay.
So yeah, I was a baby.
Yep.
And, you know, as someone who had worked their whole life, it was really defined by work. And I still am. Mm-hmm. Being down here and not having a job was a crisis. It was like my first crisis in life where I was like, I don't know
what to do,
who I am and what I want to do. But secretly in my mind, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a stylist. I wanted to be a stylist, you know, in my last year or so in Vancouver, especially when I met Matthew because of photography. He's a photographer.
Yep.
And I think that's right when we really started knowing what, or at least for me, like the fashion editor, what's the fashion editor doing? And celebs weren't quite hitting it yet. You were about to bust on the scene.
Right.
But then you were there. And that was the kind of, no, you're my like total model. And I think nobody in our position can say that you weren't.
Aww.
You, Andrew Lieberman, of course, but like you were more like that. You
Red
were in
carpet.
The in our eyes, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to say in the face because that doesn't sound right. But like,
yeah.
So then I floundered a bit and had a lot of crises. This is especially when you're first married to someone, right?
Of course.
Who you didn't even fucking know.
Of course.
And I was like, what did I do? But I don't think I ever thought, what did I do? I thought, let me figure this out. And
well, all of a sudden you open your eyes and you're like, it's that turning 30 crisis of like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm a grown up. Like, what happens now?
What happened and what do I want to do and what nourishes me? And I came from a family of people who work and like are hard workers. So I was just missing that. And so I started Matthew had a stylist who was always late, never prepared. And he kind of, I saw how it affected his job and how he wasn't successful because of it. Or, you know, he was still successful, but he wasn't killing it because of it. And I said, I can do it. And he's like, you can't, you've never done it. And I started assisting a bit, but I wasn't a good assistant. Yeah, I was a great employee.
I wasn't either.
But because I think I was just ready, you know, I just knew that I had it in my mind. So I asked like a record label, I think it was like Atlantic Records, if I could do this job that he had. And they were like, it was no money. It was like the easiest risk they could do. I think I got $1,000 all in with like four people. And then I just was off to the races.
You ended up negative basically on that job.
So yeah, I mean, I went, I remember building out the business when I started with Celebrity. I bet you I went like $200,000 in debt.
Oh.
And back in the day when you had no money.
Nothing.
To begin with.
No.
Yeah.
And you had to pay for shipping and FedEx and tailoring because the client wasn't paying, right? So.
Yeah. And the client. Yeah. And the label. Yeah. So, but that's how it basically started. And then I was doing like lots of musicians and.
But did you just kind of
plugging
it
away.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Loved. I just loved it. I love clothes. I loved.
And I think that's the sort of thing that not everybody knows until they're physically doing it, is that it's not the, I like clothes and I like fashion, so I'm going to be a stylist. It's the,
right. Do you remember like stacking bags up your arms walking
and
through
then,
like
the
Beverly Center, the cuts of the plastic bags in your arms because you didn't want to take two trips? That's, I can feel the burn in my arms still.
Yes, that like burn from the ropes in the bag right here in the crook.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I would have like, it looked like.
What drove me crazy was like the people taking the elevator at the Beverly Center didn't need to take the elevator. They couldn't take the escalators. And then you had to like take the escalators yourself because those elevators were so slow and they were full of people who didn't need to use them. Yes,
totally. 100%.
That's so much grunt work.
Sweltering. Holding garment bags, tripping over. And yes, 1,000%. Because people have asked me like, what was it like to be a stylist in New York City? I'm like sweating, climbing upstairs and walk-ups. When I started working in LA, I said, this is a vacation because you
can
put things in your car.
In your car.
And drive and then unload. Yeah. It's very civilized. It's not civilized in New York.
Even now, I don't want to go do a job in New York. They're like, can you come in and do a fitting? And I'm like,
it's really
I don't know
hard.
That I can.
But okay, really so hard. What was the like moment where you were like, okay, and maybe it wasn't like one, but was there that moment where you got an opportunity and you were like, this is the biggest opportunity of my entire styling career. And if I fuck this up, I'm done. Or were you like, I'm too nervous? You know, like, what was your moment?
Yeah.
And when was that?
I think one of my biggest things was like literally getting kind of discovered and breaking into the celebrity market. You know, I got.
Which is hard.
An agent. Yeah. Kind of plucked me. And it was like a real fairy tale story.
Right.
And then I just was like, I'll never say
no.
Yep. And so I said yes to every job that came my way.
Yep.
Because I thought I can learn something. And this is basically. To the point where I would do a music video until 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And get on a plane and go do an editorial in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of psychotic, but who am I to say that's not why I'm here talking
everything.
To you today?
Yes to everything.
Yep.
Yes to everything.
And I honestly, you know, I have an amazing team. I've always had amazing people who really work with me, like assistants and that. But then, you know, people come in and out and they're like, I just want the balance. And that's amazing. But if you want to do what we do, it's a choice because the industry is not going to change for you
Correct.
In this year or this decade. It's just, it's a choice. And I respect people who want that life balance. Good for you. But if you look at anybody who got to a certain level, they got because they said yes.
It's true.
And you can have that mindset. But when your name, if you ever get your name on the door, you're going to call me and be like, oh my God, you're right.
Yep. It's so incredibly true. And it's funny because a lot of the women that I've had on Climbing in Heels said the same thing, that they basically just always said yes because they knew there was something they could take away. And even if it sucked, it somehow taught them.
And so many of them sucked.
So many of them sucked, especially the music videos, especially the night shoes, especially the disgusting locations that felt like you were going to get killed. And like, you know, it's
for sure.
Like, and years of that. And like, but I have to say, I think it really does
put the fire in you to get where you get to, honestly. And I think it's that grit that makes you appreciate so much the, like,
for sure,
the getting there. And I think it's like, I mean, you know, and I know there are people that are very confused as to who the talent is. And I think 100%. That's a more recent thing. I do.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, look, we can thank social media for that and all of these things. But I think at the end of the day, the old fashioned way of working your fucking ass off, saying yes, being grateful, getting your ass kicked a little bit, it's okay. I think that's really the people that get to the top, honestly.
Rachel, it's the waitresses.
It is.
Well, what did you just say there? Say yes. Work your ass off. Get kicked around a bit.
Yes.
It's true. It's a performance. It's the same skills that I had working in that restaurant as here, but like a little more fun.
And retail is the same.
And you're right about it. I was with Petra the other night at the Chanel show, and we're just talking about, oh, the next generation. Cause I was popping up as that, you know what I mean? I remember that. And there's always going to be that, right? Of course. I know that there'll be a different where my timelines run out. But I was like, but there's some of us who are so consistent and chill and just are operators, you know?
Yep.
Not to take the glamour out of it.
No, it's true.
Also, I'm a fucking businesswoman. I run a multi-million dollar company. Yep. Like that's Carla Welch styling.
Yeah.
That's the deal. And it's like, I pay my employees and I give healthcare and retirement. And it's like, that to me is like, wow, that's a part of it. You know, it's like, it's so important. And that's something I say to young people, like, know how to pay the bills.
Because it's a business, but I think you thought beyond it. And that's the other thing. And I really want to talk about that. Also, who was your first client visible that you were like, that people were like, who the hell is Carla Welch?
Oh, Olivia Wilde.
Aw, I just saw her at Baby to Baby. I love her. She's fucking cool.
We've been together 17 years.
No way.
17
years. So she's like my Jen Garner.
16 years. Yeah, totally.
I mean, I'm not obviously doing it anymore. But we were together for 100 years. And now we're like mom friends. It's so funny.
But you know, you asked me like that question of like, where I thought, oh my God, I have to make it or I'm dead.
Yes.
I mean, I feel nervous every job I do. Much anymore, but I have that.
There's
like,
butterflies still.
There's butterflies. Mm-hmm. And I remember having like the first kind of real movie star opportunity came my way with an actress, and she was trying out, and it wasn't that long ago, and she was trying out a couple stylists, and everything went wrong for mine. like Ted Cruz winning the election, to the fire, to a shooting. It was just like a storm of like negative and it didn't go my way. And I remember being devastated. And it's just like, shit doesn't always go your way, but like, there's something else great around the corner. And I'm like, I'm glad it didn't work out, but like,
and I feel like a lot of things did happen well for you over the last, really well.
Amazing.
Really well.
Yeah.
With new clients.
Really well.
Old clients that are crushing it with like.
But isn't that funny in our business though? Because you still are like, I mean, you're still on it, which is, I think, great. Like I still have that fire in me.
Well, by the way, when you don't, is when you need to pause. And that's
correct.
When I did pause from it because I
couldn't. Well, you were in a fucking shit storm. You know what I mean? Of like Us Weekly when it was like the most insane, like you like.
So much.
So much.
And also.
But also like created an industry. So thank you.
Well,
I mean, I thank you and mention you all the time. But
you're the sweetest. And listen,
I wouldn't have known what to do.
But here's the thing. I've taken like, I think it's been about a 7-year pause from styling. And only this year did I realize, okay, I'm starting to remember why I lived and died for it again. But I can do one or two people, like maybe, you know, but like, because it just started, the industry changed a lot. And I think the politics and the systems and the... It got a little gnarly for a minute. And listen, unlike you, because you have incredible people on your team, I could not find incredible team. I really struggled with that. So maybe if I do start styling again, and I'm just going to have you hire my team.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay. I'm great at that.
Apparently I'm not.
It's my super skill.
Apparently, I'm really good at my team, but styling for whatever reason, not. So yeah, I'll come to you on that. Okay. So okay, then great. What happened? So you're obviously this like superstar stylist and like world domination. I think you're 20 years younger than you are. All these great awards, all this great recognition. And then you start doing, first of all, you're very loud on social media and you're very principled and you're very politically active and very not shy about your beliefs,
which I love.
Yeah. And I've tried to become louder over the last probably 3 years.
You have. And I think it's amazing.
I love it.
Thank you.
Listen, I think at some point, if you don't say something, then you're complacent. Right?
Now, 100%.
I believe that. Right.
I remember that night we met and my speech, because I got like the voice of, and it was really before, and I don't care to like say that I started it because I certainly did not. But I remember in my speech, I said, no one in this room will lose anything by speaking up.
Yeah.
But no one at the time had.
Yes.
I remember Roger was like, great speech. And I was like, oh, thanks. But I think it's fucking wild out there.
It's what the world is. Freaking mess. Our countries are freaking insane. Mess.
Like, we should all be on the fact that we're not all walking on strike for gun safety is insane to me. Of course, I understand that's the complicity and like the complexities of things, but like, that's just who I am. But I was like that as a kid.
Right.
Know, that's who, like, I remember my brothers were like, we have a cabin on a lake and it's not fancy. It's like rough in Canada. But they were like shooting baby frogs with their BB guns in the water. So I jumped in the water and I treaded water for like 3 hours so that they couldn't shoot anything. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't shoot me, to be completely honest. And it's a BB, people. This is not anything serious. But like, I've just never been afraid of it. And I remember an agent who, you know, we both know, said to me, you better
stop,
you know, kind of close your mouth a little bit. And I said, just you wait. Like,
yeah,
no fucking way. Yeah.
Well, what happened to me, like, I was selling clothes at the time when all this sort of hot mess of this country started to come out. And a lot of customers were in places that don't share my same beliefs. And
of course, so
a lot of people at different positions were like, just stay quiet. And then after a while, I was like, nope. Because then I agree. Right. Then I agree. And so I think for me, it was just sort of like there's a responsibility and also like a burning in my soul to just scream. Right. Ugh. So I think all of that. Okay. So then what happened? So then you're like, okay, I want to start multiple different parts of my brand and my business. Right. Because then you're like, okay, I need more. I need to not only style like, you know, 20 amazing clients and work my ass off and have this team of people, but like now I want more. So what happens?
Yeah. And I also thought of it as like, you know, longevity and how can I provide for my family and like multiple revenue streams. Yeah. But also, I also just thought it would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, we in the era that you and I kind of came up with, like you first and me a little bit behind you, you know, we got treated as wardrobe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's your direction. Yes. And the ad men, always men, would be making the decisions. You know, you'd be on a beauty campaign. They'd be like, well, blah, 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 telling you how a woman would feel or a perfume campaign. Like, and I just think you guys are bozos. And some of them were amazing and you could have amazing creatives. But I thought, why are we siloed into such a limited space? Why? Like, why wouldn't I design t-shirts? Why wouldn't I have these other ideas? Like, I can... Not that I am saying I'm some creative director, I'm not, but I think that there was opportunities to do so many more things and we kind of had the platform to do it, right? Like you did it.
Yep.
Like you need to bring back your line. Like those suits were so good.
Oh my God. Sarah Foster every day is like, where's the suits? The good news is I'm still wearing them all the time because I love them.
I would place your clothes all the time. Did. I love you so much. So
me, you just someday, think about that. Someday. Good. It just has to be in a better partnership, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You could do like a little more high end. We'd buy it.
You're so cute.
But yeah, I think that's what it was. I was like, I wanted to flex like a little more. And I think maybe that's because I was like an underachiever as well as a kid.
I'm like, are you okay? And what part is the underachiever? What are you talking
about? No, as a kid, I was an underachiever. My parents are... think I'm a marvel. They're like, wow, you were like so
was
just
I
our little stoner.
Yeah, I was. I mean, who wanted to be a student? My kids are my heroes right now, these straight A kids. I'm like, where did you come from? Mommy's so proud.
Mine falls after me, unfortunately. My husband was like that straight A student.
Really?
Like, well.
And he's creative too, though, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was like a straight A art center student. Like,
of course he was.
Whatever.
Of course he was.
Whatever. But, you know, I just thought it would be like fun. And I think, like, you know, besides you, I kind of was the first, like the one who followed of like having brand partnerships and having collabs and
ex Carla.
Yeah.
Was it Levi's first?
Levi's. Like, right? It was like the Hanes and then the Levi's and the Express and the Eddie Bauer. And like, I don't even know what the hell else they did. But like, also like stylists are pretty unique in that we understand what's missing from the market, right?
Of course. And we touch everything.
When brands can, which is everything, right? Like we know we're merchandisers in a way. We can go into a store and be like, you know, what's really missing is this. Mm-hmm. So I love getting to do that side of things. Consulting now and working with brands and but ultimately I'm like you, like for me my rock stars are like the Pier Paolo, Nick Legeschiere, the Parenza boys.
I mean,
and to get to have like their clothes come to my office or to work on a dress with them,
still geek
I remember
out,
watching the Rachel Zoe show when you were like with that dress you put on Cameron Diaz for the Chanel with blue, everybody's mind that here's like a lucite heel and a freaking short dress to the Globes. Like, come on, that's like one of the most iconic Globe looks ever. And but how you talked about you got to work with Carl,
that and was it's like my drop dead moment for me.
That's a drop freaking dead. Like, put it drop on your tombstone. I worked with Carl.
Yeah,
you know,
literally.
And like
drop dead, I said I can quit, I'm done.
Entrepreneurs know some of the most challenging times when starting a business are at the beginning. At Genesis, they've harnessed all that beginning excitement into the award-winning GV70. And with the first ever electrified GV70, you get all that stunning design and innovative tech in an electric vehicle. The electrified GV70 features the silhouette of a coupe and the capability of an SUV. The exclusive G-Matrix grille stylishly hides the charging port. Inside, discover a driver-oriented cockpit featuring fingerprint recognition, available Napa leather, and premium navigation with a 14.5-inch HD screen. Engage boost mode for an exhilarating 483 horsepower. And when it's time to charge, DC fast charging will give you up to 80% charge in minutes. Your Genesis electrified GV70 is waiting for you. What will you begin? Learn more at genesis.com. Genesis, keep beginning.
And for me, all I want to do is bring their vision to life. So, you know, so sometimes it's fun to bring our visions to life. But for me, I have such deep respect for the designers and wanting to make them happy.
Yep.
So it's a thrill. So for me, it's always still a thrill.
Yeah. But by the way, and that should always be your reminder that that's why you're doing it. Like, meaning that's what wakes you up. And I think that's the thing. It's like that fire, that obsession with that moment, and like they walk out the door and they walk onto the carpet and you're like
and your phone the best is when other stylists are like ding ding ding, I love it,
you know. I was just doing validation. That with Sam, who I love, and she's in Cannes, the sweetest girl, you know. I started
so
with
good.
Her she was the only stylist that was nice to me. Her and Elizabeth Stewart were nice to me, and everyone else was really mean. I cried. And Andrea,
I don't get it, man. There's only room to be nice. There's just not. And it's all changing so much too. Like you look at the carpet sometimes and you think, what are we doing this for? Like, where's the meaning? Mm-hmm. I still love it. But like sometimes like, you know, with streamers and the saturation level of events, and we can reclaim a little magic. I think. I don't know how they're.
But I think that's why you're diversifying for that reason.
Yeah.
So that you can keep doing what you love. And keep touching other things. So you keep it new and you keep it interesting. You keep your creative sort of flow going, because that's very important, especially for creative people. Because if not, you start to get really pissed off about things. You know what I mean?
Listen, when you're getting a little pissed off about it, too pissed off about it, I mean, then you know it's time, right?
No, it's true. It's true. But I will say, I think that you're very inspiring for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're... your loud voice is appreciated, I think, by a lot of people. And I You know, and I also think, you know, it's funny, like your personal style, like for anyone who doesn't know what Carla looks like, she's this very, like, if you know Reality Bites and Winona Ryder, that's her total vibe. And she's so cute. She's a little pixie with this Canadian accent about.
Oh my God.
Which I love. But okay, so you're also, I think what we need to really mention here is that you're also a mother of a teenager.
I am. Don't do it, people. It's a trap. No. You have the sweetest boys. My kid's amazing, not sweet. I look at you and I think, oh, look at those sweet angels.
Yeah, but they're also 9 and 12. They're 9 and 12.
They're going to be sweet forever.
I hope so.
I can tell.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. But listen, I think this working mom thing to me is the hardest job out there. You know?
Yeah.
I just do because I think there's a pull and they need you.
Of course. Being a child is the one thing. My husband was like, you know, we need a little more give and give. And I was like, when did you give to your poor single mom? Right. You didn't.
Yes, exactly.
Childhood is like when you get to be an asshole with abandon and your parents still have to love you. You don't have a choice and your heart won't let you have a choice.
Right.
I could never, if my kids being a dick to me, I could still not never just want to gobble them up.
Of course.
Because I do.
It's crazy. Wait.
It's crazy.
How old is he now?
He is 17.
Oh my God. Oh God. That's wild.
Yeah.
So, and I also want to point out something that I think is actually very important because while you're building your career at its most pinnacle, challenging times of building, also married to a creative. And that is also something I want to mention because when I was starting out, it was sort of the whole like New York thing. Like 25, I went freelance, right? Again, not a great assistant. So I went freelance at 25 and Roger was an investment banker. So we basically didn't see each other for like 5 years because he was working 24/7. I was making in my editor job $17,500 a year, just so you know.
Remember when editorials paid $175?
Oh, yeah. I do actually. We had to beg for 200. We had to beg for 200. Yeah. And you ended up negative because you had to pay for all the messengers and stuff. So,
yeah. So
I think I want to touch on that because I had my children later in life. I had already been doing my career, I think like 15 years. Roger and I were together 18 years before we had kids.
Wow.
So, but I always say in hindsight, like, how would I have ever done that? Well built because I was working literally 20 hours a day, flying all over the world, like doing these crazy music videos and
you wouldn't have, by the way.
Right. So I don't know. I might have been not building my career as well, or like maybe even an absent mom. Like, I don't know. So how did you do this? Did you take him everywhere with you? How did you do this?
I did at the beginning. And listen, I'll give you some pretty heartbreaking news. Like, I know that I missed out on a lot.
Yeah.
For my career, which it's hard to say and it's a hard pill to swallow. Right. And I don't think it's like, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying it for any sort of sympathy, but like there are pivotal years that I needed to be there. And I wasn't, and you know, like a little more of a backstory about my kid and he's trans and he's like, you know, there's a lot that goes with it.
Yep.
You know, also I didn't come up when there was like mommy blogs or in social media that was not happening when I was a mom.
Kid.
Like the resource. I was like in my 30s, but like
somehow
it just happened. I didn't even think I'd get pregnant. It wasn't a thing. And we just kind of like, I was probably a little like lax about it, but I will say I'm so fucking grateful to my husband because we switched roles, right? We switched traditional roles and Matthew really raised Clem and gave up so much of his own creativity and in his goals to allow me to like super soar. But if I had to look at it, and I say to moms that, cause we all are moms now, I say to them with younger kids, like, you got to carve out that, like you're in that time right now. You've done it perfectly. Right. You had like the pinnacle of the pinnacle. Then you had your babies and then you've got to have them in like the most important time of their life. And I didn't get to do that. So I'm going to like, you know,
but
Clem's
no
like, gonna write a book about,
I
don't actually have regrets because
I've
built a fucking amazing career and I'm so proud of it.
Yes.
I have pangs of hurt over it.
Of course. As we do.
So I don't
understand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's where it's like, oh man.
Listen.
Damn it.
we don't write this, right? We don't write it.
Yeah.
We don't script
totally.
It, right? We don't.
Yeah.
Like, and I think if you do, no life follows script, right? It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't totally. Work like that.
Correct.
And I think that, listen, I know a lot of moms right now, creative moms in our field, who are there busting their fucking asses and their husbands are home.
Yeah.
And it works. And it works.
It works.
And it works. And I...
But they need their mom. I hate to say it.
No,
like, you need a mom. I mean, not... And hey, listen, that sounds so privileged. Actually, I'll take... You know, I'll...
I know what you mean.
It's like if you...
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like there's like... Clem and I have like such an incredible bond. But Clem and Matthew are besties. Like, yeah. You know, I don't have... They...
I get it. I get it.
So it's just a different... And it's probably not the narrative we were taught too, right?
Sure.
Where it's like... That it would be us out doing it.
Of course.
That's all.
Okay. So you have a 17-year-old. I have a 9-year-old. Like, what? So, like, I could say, oh, my God, I wish I was a young mom. I'm
sure,
not.
Of course.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's, there's trade-offs, right? And I think...
There's all the trade-offs. If I could do it differently, oh, I would try to balance a little more.
It's hard, though.
But...
It's hard.
Our business doesn't allow for it.
It doesn't. And I do say that. And it's interesting because I think when I really stopped was when I had my second child and I realized that I was sending team out to do the job and that did not work for me. And
that
it didn't
work
for
our
my
biz.
Clients. It doesn't work. So you really didn't have a choice in that moment. And I think you should really know that you didn't have a choice
for sure.
And you should go to sleep at night knowing that you didn't have a choice because you were providing food and you were
totally.
Building what now will set up Clem. Later.
For sure.
And so I think, and I do think that some of the hardest working people I know come from badass moms who work their ass off and very hard
for
when
sure.
the kids are little. And then they really grow up and go, God, fucking, I get it. Like, I get why she did this. And I'm so grateful.
I can't wait for that to
It will. Not at 17.
23, yeah, not at 17.
At 23.
Listen.
Again, you've built something incredible. You should be really fucking proud of yourself. You do a lot
Thanks.
For the fucking world. Not just for fashion. And,
thank you, Rachel.
You know, and I think you should be.
Yeah, I don't regret it, which is like kind of an interesting thing to have too. But it's like, yeah, it's just the pangs, right? And but I did, you know, what I like to remind Clem of from like 1 to 3, that kid was on, like when the flights were free, he was on all the New York jobs. So I'm like, I didn't ditch you. You just don't remember.
By the way, they don't remember anything till after 3. Okay, so wait, last thing. So can you tell me about the period company? Because
yes,
I really do want to understand it. And it is quite significant in our world.
Thank
so please explain.
It's a major thing. So I actually started it because Clem, even though he's a boy, got his period early.
Okay.
And it was like 10 years old and this little cute meathead didn't know like... At the time, I didn't know Clem was trans.
Okay.
And so there was all this, but he did.
Okay.
So there was all this, just this trauma around getting their period.
Okay.
But there was also logistically, like you're asking a 10-year-old to change pads at a school.
Sure.
And at the exact same time, I was like kind of grossed out with the amount of period waste I was creating.
Okay.
Like pads and tampons for everyone watching never decompose. So the first one your grandmother's ever used is still on the planet. So... It was kind of just like the light bulb went off in the head because there was period underwear because I thought that was going to be the best bet for Clem.
Sure.
But it was super cost prohibited. And I didn't find it to be a really great product. Like it was good for a backup if your tampon leaked. Okay, great. You catch it in your underwear because tampons leak all the time. So I just kind of had a moment and I understood manufacturing because of my t-shirt line. And I thought, I'm going to make the most absorbent and affordable period underwear in the world. And I'm going to make it so that every kid and every mom and every dad or anybody with a period could choose this way to period.
Okay.
Because it just is better. Me, you know, I'm biased, but like
right,
I find it's a much more enjoyable way to have your period. And so I have an amazing co-founder. It's this woman, Sasha Markov, who's an incredible CMO, and she brought Impossible Burgers to life. Like she worked at Mother London for many, many years. And I told her the idea and that I was going to do it. And she said, well, the most important thing of having a great product is having a great brand. So let's do it together. And that was like pure serendipity because we had met each other many years later And so we've come together and our main goal was like, wow, periods have kind of been looked upon as really shitty our whole lives. We've been told they're shitty, right?
Yeah.
We've been told globally that they're a stigma and that they're awful, and they can be.
Yeah.
But like, what if we were told something completely different? And what if boys were told something completely different? What a different maybe world we'd have.
Right.
So we started the company, we called it Period, blah, 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 blah. We launch immediately on day one. Someone sends me this letter about like period poverty, which of course I knew. Period poverty is when people don't have access to care. Like one in four Americans, which is
insane
to me.
That's so mental.
It's mental. But we thought we were a sustainability company, which we were, but then we realized, oh my God, we're not. We're a mission-driven company. And our mission is to sustainably eradicate period poverty. Mm-hmm. So we work with organizations. So we have a direct consumer business. We just launched nationwide in Walmart, which is amazing. Like
amazing.
The capitalist side of it, unbelievable.
Yep.
Going great. But the most important side of it is that we work with orgs all over the world, whether they're governments or NGOs or just private foundations of people who want to make impact.
Yep.
All these programs, we're about to launch this incredible program in Kauai, where every single person in Kauai, regardless if they're you or me with a bank account or someone at the poverty line working poor, we're giving everybody five pairs of underwear and a pack of pads to see what happens in a space when you imagine that nobody goes without and everybody has a democratized form of care. So we're going to see what happens.
That's
and we're going back into Kenya. Yeah, it's so... Like, it's so funny. It gives me the same feeling as when I get an amazing couture dress.
Yes.
Which is like, I smell the dichotomy and I'm like, wow, but it's just my life's purpose is actually to do this work. And everything's led to this moment. You know, I had an amazing platform because I had amazing clients and friends who elevated our brand in ways brands couldn't buy, right? They can't buy the impact we've had already just with social.
Yeah.
And we do an amazing thing where we like team up with friends or celebrities and we do match days where they'll say, hey, friends, the period company is going to match everything that says Rachel today. Right. And then we do a big donation. So we just kind of work relentlessly to show the world that it can be done because our huge goal is like, listen, we want someone to come in and we want governments to come in and say, okay, we see what you did here.
If they'll
and
talk we saw about the impact. It, if they'll admit that we actually have it.
You know what? It's crazy. I mean, a week ago, a girl got killed by her brother for having her period in India. I know. Sorry, I should give you that trigger warning.
It's like babies and diapers.
Because he didn't even know what a period was.
It's literally like babies and diapers. It's the craziest thing.
It's like babies and diapers. They thought, you know, so much education is needed. And it's like, but if you just start, you can change things. And maybe we're in a different world now where we can't rely on government to help us change this. And maybe it's just great citizens. But I think if you can combine everybody, like citizens, governments, and businesses, and billionaires, come on, buy 100 million pairs of period underwear.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And I think, but it's funny because... funny, sort of ironic, because it's sort of, you think about this concept, you're like, how do I change the world with this? How do I impact the entire freaking world with this? Right. Yeah. And it seems overwhelming, but I think that you're already scratching the surface in a really, really big way. And in a very short time. I mean, when did you launch this?
2.5 years.
Yeah. God, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. And again, even getting people to have the conversation is helpful.
Listen, we have signs in Walmart that say period on them.
Bless. Bless.
Bless. Thank you, Walmart.
Bless. Thank you, Walmart. Oh my God. I adore you. I adore you. I love your passion. You're so talented. I love all the girls that you work with and the boys. And the boys. You work with boys too.
Lots of them.
Justin Bieber, casual. And Haley.
Just that one.
Casual.
Yes.
But I love all that you're doing. I really do. I love your voice. I love your loud voice.
Thanks, Rachel.
I do.
I know it's loud.
It's sometimes loud, I'm like, but I love it because it
tone it
other-
down. But
no, don't actually. Really don't.
No, I can't because you know what? So many people who really have had their rights squandered over years.
Yeah.
Who don't look like us, right? We're white women.
Yep.
So we have to run out of privilege in our lifetime. We have to spend the privilege we have until the day we die, because we're not allowed to get tired. They're like, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to do anything. Tell that to the civil rights fighters, the freedom fighters.
It's true.
Who've come before us. Like, we don't get to. And that's just the way it is. Period.
And I love you more for it. So thank you, my love. I love having you. I could talk to you. I could do a part two and a part three, but you know, I am going to let you get back to your life. But
thanks for having me, Rachel. It's been such a pleasure.
I adore you. Have such a great week. I love you. Keep you know, your world domination. I'm loving it. It's that time in the show when I answer two listener questions. So let's see what we have today. Hi, I love this podcast and I have a question for Rachel that I'd love to hear her answer. I'm a mommy to two beautiful children. They're 7 and 3. My first love was fashion design, but I was at a point with my brand where it made more sense to take a break and be with my kids. Now that my youngest is 3, I'm dreaming of getting my brand going again. At 34 years old, do you think that ship has sailed? Am I crazy to try and start back right now? If not, do you have any advice for someone trying to come back from taking a break after having kids? Thanks, Rachel. Okay, so first of all, no, it's never too late to come back or start over or continue what you started. I do think you have to first take a look at the business that you're in and what you're going back to, because chances are it has changed a lot. I don't know a business that hasn't evolved and changed substantially over the last 5 to 7 years. So I would definitely really think about that before you go headfirst into it. But absolutely, 34 is the perfect age. And I would argue to say that you are probably more focused, mature, and probably have the right perspectives on things, including business, at 34 than you were at, you know, 26. And, you know, I really find, especially with women, that the older we get, I really think the better we are mentally, physically, emotionally, all the things. So no, and I think that I would say, depending on what you do, I would say really study it and really see what the market is looking for and also what the market is missing and really consider that and start small. Start small and don't get yourself into a big overwhelming situation with inventory and things like that. So good luck. Okay, next question. I am going to be a mother of the groom in February 2024. That's very exciting. Any suggestions where to look for a dress gown? I want modern, up-to-date style. Also, any ideas what will be in for next February? Well, I would say, listen, I believe there's so many variables to consider with a wedding. I got married in February in New York City, and it was black tie, and it was at night, and it was at the Rainbow Room. So my bridesmaids all wore black velvet, and my mother wore gold, and I believe Roger's mother also wore like white and gold. I think when you're in February, depending on is it black tie, where is it? Is it an away wedding? Is it a city wedding? Are you in cold weather? Are you in warm weather? All those things sort of weigh into it. But I would say color-wise, I love navy in February. I love gold all year round. I do think you can wear black as the mother of the groom, but I think navy is a better option, or a metallic, I think, is really chic. I love a sleeve. I love an off the shoulder because I think the prettiest part of women is their sort of neck and shoulders, especially at a wedding. I do love Monique Lhuillier for everything wedding. I love Vera Wang. It depends really on what your budget is, because there's really so many options out there in every price range. You can also get something custom made. You can pull a dress image that you love and have it made at your local sort of seamstress shop and pick your fabrics and things like that. But obviously that's a lot more work. Show Me Your Miu Miu does amazing sort of bridal in every size, shape, color. They do a huge wedding business and very reasonable. So I think that's also a great one. But that would be my suggestion. So good luck. Okay, everybody, don't forget to submit your questions for next week's episode. All you have to do is DM us your questions to @ClimbingInHeelsPod on Instagram, and I just might answer your question. Do you want my help styling your summer? Through Curator, you can sign up to receive boxes curated with my favorite fashion, beauty, and lifestyle products every season, starting with our summer box. Valued at over $400, this customizable collection is available to members for only $125. Plus, when you join this season, I'll send you a very glamorous free gift as my way of welcoming you. Head to curator.com. That's curator.com for all the details on this exclusive offer. I want to thank Carla so much for coming on Climbing in Heels. I love bonding with her even more over the pain that we both experience growing our careers. You know, I've said it 1,000 times, styling is not what it appears to be. It is grueling. It is painful. It is not glamorous 90% of the time. It's not what you see on Instagram, but it's amazing. And I think, you know, you can clearly see the passion in Carla's eyes and in her soul. You can hear it in her voice that she still loves it so much. She's very grateful to her work, to her clients. She's expanded on her brand in so many different ways. And I mean, just honestly reminiscing about emptying our cars in a mall and carrying the things out of the Beverly Center and literally like having our arms cut up from holding so many bags because you didn't want to make another trip. That really just got me because it's just so clear in my mind still after all these years. Carla has really helped lead the way in really speaking very loudly, very candidly about things that matter to her, whether it's politics, whether it's equal rights, and using our social platforms for good and speaking up. Because I do believe if you don't speak up, it really means that you agree with what's going on in the world. If you want more Climbing in Heels content, follow me on @RachelZoe and @ClimbingInHeelsPod on Instagram for more updates on upcoming guests, episodes, and all things Curator. I'll see you all next week. Mwah.